Hare Krishna, everybody. Welcome to today's topical class. I've been asked to share my experiences of initiation in Vrindavan. I was just there for 1 month, this past month. And it was an amazing journey, and I feel honored to get to share it with you in some small way. Maharaj, when he asked me to share my experiences, my first reaction was no way. And he stood with me for some time. We just discussed what happened a little bit with initiation and how much it meant and how much it was so life-changing in many ways. And then he asked me again if I would speak on the topical class and share it. And then, although I'm definitely not qualified to be sitting here in front of all of you, I feel really privileged and honored because I definitely understand it's a purification process. And this is a really nice chance to try to do that and somehow inspire you in some way. So I was going to start with just sharing in general what we did in Vrindavan, some places we went and some people we met. And then I'll talk about initiation, which was the climax of that whole experience. To me, it was actually, my whole time in Vrindavan for the whole month was actually preparation for that moment when I would sit before the fire yajna and say my vows to the spiritual master before my whole family, all my friends. And I really felt in Vrindavan, that was my meditation, was just, how can I prepare myself for accepting that initiation in the Dham, in front of everyone I so much admire and respect. So from the first day in Vrindavan to the day right up to initiation, it was a really intense, purifying experience in so many ways. And I'm so grateful because I really realized how important it is to have good association when you're in the Dham especially, and how that is so essential in determining the future. Who you associate with now is most likely who you become later on. So I was so grateful because I had really nice association. And one of the best people I had was in my company was Shama Sakhi. And she was studying here for the college for 3 years, and she really shared with me such an important part of being in Vrindavan, which was focus and determination, like patience. And being with her, I really understood what it means to be in Vrindavan. And she really shared that love, which I was so grateful for because my past experience in India, especially in Vrindavan, wasn't so inspiring because I wasn't in such that kind of association where love for Vrindavan is so contagious and you can see beyond the externals and you can see what it actually means to be in Vrindavan. So she brought us around to many different temples and we visited, you know, all the different holy places and samadhis, and we did kirtan there, which was really sweet. And just being in Krishna Balar Mandir was so, I mean, that was the climax of the, I mean, such an amazing part of the whole experience. And the 24-hour kirtan, so these were just parts of the time in Vrindavan before initiation. Shami took us to Radhakund, and she introduced us to this incredible family of really genuine Brajvasis. And this, meeting them was actually one of the highlights of my whole time in India. Because by meeting them, I mean, they were so poor. They had hardly anything. This one mother, she had four children, and her husband, and they had a cow, some land. When we got there, the mother was in the fields, and Shama Sakhi asked, like, where's the mother? Because the child, one of the girls, came up to us and received us. And she fed us and everything, and then Shami asked, where's your mother? And she said, she's in the fields. So the girl went to get her mother, and she brought her back. And she knew Shami from before, but she didn't know myself and one of my other friends. But the second she saw us in her home, she was just the most loving mother. She accepted us just like her own children. And it was so inspiring to see. And she knew we were Western, and she knew we had more money. But she didn't expect anything in return. She just gave and gave. And I was really touched and really moved by that. Because they had, I mean, she was just surviving day by day, trying to feed her children, trying to maintain her family, try to maintain the cow somehow. They were just, you know, true Brajbrasis, and they were so simple. Their whole life was just simplicity. And I really understood that actually happiness doesn't come from the externals. Happiness doesn't come from opulences or, you know, things that we think in the West that they do come from. It actually comes from inside. And this family really exemplified that. They were so happy, and their hearts just overpoured with love. They were just so kind and caring, and that experience really touched me in a lot of ways. So then we met that family, and then the next day we went to Varshana and did parikram, visited the temples, and we were brought there by this Varshana Basi, and just seeing him there in his home was so inspiring. He was just so happy to be back home. He was actually taking care of us in Vrindavan, cooking for us every day. He was my friend's father's friend. So he was just taking care of her and I and my mother in Vrindavan. And then, yeah, day after day, there was just lessons coming. And I really was focusing on that meditation. This is in preparation for initiation. This is in preparation for that moment when I'm going to surrender to the spiritual master and say my vows, and this is it for the rest of my life. So this is the period that I really need to understand, try to understand what it means, try to be sincere and try to pray. I was trying to pray every day, even though it was difficult. And sometimes standing before the deities, it's hard to just reveal your heart. But that's what I was trying to do, because I found that even though Krishna knows everything in our heart, he knows everything, every motivation, every intention, every thought, everything in our life that we ever did in our many lives eternally. But I really found that once you actually, although he knows, once you actually reveal your heart to him and pray to him and open up, he actually reciprocates so much, because he just wants that. He wants to see that we want him. And by opening up in that way, it makes a difference. So I would try to pray every day and try to connect like that. So, after that month, I still, because I've been thinking about initiation for a long time, and I had expectations. I found I had expectations of who I would be, what I would be like, how I would think about certain things. I felt like I would understand what it means to be a disciple, which I had really unrealistic expectations, actually, of myself. And I felt like I actually thought I would be perfect in some way. And it was, I guess as a child, I just thought I would be somehow perfect, and then I would get initiation, everything would be perfect. But in Vrindavan, I was really, the idea was completely smashed. Completely. I just, as the days went by, I realized just how unqualified I was, day after day. And there was more and more lessons just every day. I felt like Radharani was really smushing that idea into the ground. And it was really humbling to realize that actually I'm far from perfect. And all my childhood expectations of initiation were really changed, and I really realized that you can't think yourself perfect, especially, I mean, because we're not. And I was talking to Shyamasaki about this, and she really helped in a lot of ways, and that's what I found, actually. As the weeks went by, just talking to devotees about it, talking to devotees about the lessons that we learned that day, you know, just trying to understand and get lessons out of everything that happened. That was such an important part of it. And just trying to reveal your heart and trying to understand like that. So when initiation came closer, I was really becoming extremely, I guess mental is the right word to say, but I was becoming really, really like nervous, extremely nervous. And I really, at one point, I was talking with one of my friends and we were discussing initiation, and at one point in my heart, I guess, I got this really strong feeling. I said, I can't do this. I guess it was in my head, but but I said, it was a really powerful emotional response. It just, in a second, I said, in my mind, I said, how can I get out of this? I was like, how can I get out of this? I need to get out of this now. And I really felt stuck. I said, I can't, I'm stuck now. Because everything was arranged somehow. Everything had been arranged and everybody knew. All my parents knew, Marge knew, I got my beads, and I really was desperate to get out of the situation one day, and just in a second, that just happened, and I was completely overwhelmed, and then I thought about it, and I realized this is just part of the phase, you know, part of the process, I felt. And then the next day, I just thought about it again, and I was like, okay, I'm not getting out of this. And I really tried to just accept it. And it was a matter of accepting initiation, I felt. It wasn't that... I asked Maharaj a year ago in Govardhan for initiation, and he said yes. He actually asked my father first, and we were all just crying. And Maharaj was really kind, and he said yes, but I didn't expect it to be this year that I'd get initiated. So it was for me, it was a matter of accepting initiation, because everything was so perfectly arranged, and it wasn't by chance. It was really incredible. I mean, initiation happened in Vrindavan, which was, I mean, I've been thinking about initiation, and that didn't even cross my mind, that it could be in Vrindavan someday. So the fact that it was in Vrindavan was just amazing. And it was on my birthday, on my 19th birthday, and it was on Ekadasi, the same Ekadasi that I was born on. So it was just all these things just fell on top of each other. It was in the Goshala gardens beside Jamuna Samadhi that had just been installed that same day. So it was like in the shade of Jamuna Samadhi, she's such an influence in my life. She's such an incredible, incredible person in my life. She always has been. And to have her presence so strong in the ceremony meant so much to me. Just to have, and I really felt her blessings were there. And Dina Tarni, she was there, and she really also brought Jamuna's presence and her presence. It was so important to me. And my entire family came, which was incredible, because I hardly ever see my sister. Growing up, I would see her once a year, and she's 11 years older than I am. So just to she came to India, and my nephew and her, my sister's husband and my parents, and then all the girls from Sharanagati, because everyone was there for Jamuna's ceremony. And then initiation just fell in that. So I really, although at first when the opportunity came up, that was about 6 months ago when I first heard that I could possibly take initiation there. At that time, I said, no way. I'm going to Bhaktivedanta College, first of all, and that's already a huge commitment. And I was like, I don't think I can do it. Like, it's too much. I know it's an amazing opportunity, but I just completely didn't even consider it, really. And then when I came to Radhadesh, I started thinking about it again. And as the time came closer for India, I realized how special that would be. And then my parents asked Maharaj, and he was really happy about it, about that. So So I'll speak a little bit about the actual initiation. So after that whole Vrindavan experience, which was such a preparation, and I was so grateful because it really, really made me see clearly where I stood, what my position was, and how important it was to actually get the blessings of the devotees and speak to the devotees about it. So the day before initiation, Dina Tarini, we were in a rickshaw, and she asked me, she said, in one word, what's the difference between you now and you after initiation? So does anybody have any ideas? What's the difference in one word? I've told some people, but whoever I didn't tell, what's the difference in one word of someone now, before initiation and after initiation? Any ideas? That's good. It's not a word. It's not the word, but yeah. Love. No. Commitment. That was the word. That was the word. And yeah, when that was actually the first thing that came to my mind was commitment, because that's something. That's actually the one thing I was really afraid of, was the commitment. I'd been thinking about that, because to me initiation is so much about commitment. And she said, when I said commitment, she said, that's the word. She said, you understood what initiation means. It's actually a commitment, a lifetime. It's actually an eternal commitment to your spiritual master, a lifetime of commitment. So commitment, I would sort of like to talk about that a little bit. Because being a Guru Kuli, a young second-generation devotee in ISKCON, it's a little bit different, a lot different, in a lot of ways, to actually take initiation, I feel. Because for Guru Kulis, they've grown up in the movement, they've been around devotees their entire life, and they haven't actually taken that step. Most Guru Kulis haven't taken that step or had that moment of realization and surrender that this is what I want in my life. This is the path I'm going to follow for the rest of my life, and there's nothing else, there's no other path that I want to follow. So most Guru Kulis haven't come to that, that realization. They've just been sort of, you know, brought up in the movement, and many are so grateful for that. But, like, we need to join Krishna consciousness ourselves. And it's so easy, you see it so much, it's so easy to just live the life of a Guru Kuli, and it's so much about, I mean, it's not always like this, but it's so much about, the Guru Kuli scene is so much about just festivals, socializing, friends, prasadam, good food, kirtan, rocking kirtan, playing mridanga, and it's so much, I find it so much about the externals. It seems. It's so much about learning good mridanga, playing, you know, meeting friends, socializing, going to festivals every whatever, zipping around the world and things. So it's easy for Guru Kulis to miss the point of Krishna consciousness as a deeply internal process that takes work and commitment and desire. You need to have the desire to keep Krishna in the center of your life. So being a Guru Kuli, it was difficult to understand really, and to understand what it meant to commit, and understand what it meant to actually consciously decide that Krishna consciousness is for me. And yeah. Because in the Guru Kuli life, it seems many people have one foot in both worlds. It's like spiritual world and material world, and you're sort of standing with one foot on each, like in a precarious position. And you don't really realize it. And it's actually like a dangerous position, but it's a comfort zone. That's the thing. And it seems for lots of coolies, that's just a comfort zone of, you know, you're not really committed to this, you're not so much committed to that. So taking initiation for me was really about commitment and about just stepping on one side of the options. Or so so I really felt that during the initiation ceremony, it was really about, I actually felt like I was sitting there just because of the blessings of the devotees. Like, there was nothing else that brought me to that position was other than the blessings of the devotees. And that was such an important, I mean, that was the reason I was there, was because of the blessings. And I really felt that. And that was what was supporting everything. So, and I really didn't understand the importance of receiving the blessings of the devotees. And it was so overwhelming just being there, sitting there, and just feeling the support from all sides. And that left such a deep impression on my heart. And I feel like that impression is going to keep me going actually for the rest of my life. Just thinking about that one day, those few hours of just being surrounded by all the devotees, all my friends, family, my spiritual master, sitting in front of the fire sacrifice, that impression left such a powerful influence on my whole life. And I'm really, really eternally grateful for that. And I really feel like Krishna really put me in that situation just to give me some faith that this is actually real. And some, like, I felt like it wasn't only for me, it was actually a service to take initiation in front of so many of my friends. And so many of my friends came up to me afterwards and said how grateful they were to be there and how inspiring it was to them to have been there at that ceremony. It was really touching like that. And I really felt like it was complete mercy. It was. I really didn't understand what it means to be a disciple. I hadn't thought about it so much. It was just, I actually didn't understand much about the guru-disciple relationship. All I knew was that I knew he was my spiritual master and that I wanted shelter from him. But I didn't understand the depth of the whole, I mean, it's so deep. I still don't understand. I mean, it's going to take many, many lifetimes, I'm sure. But it was just really causeless mercy. And I was just overwhelmed with gratitude. I felt like that was the only thing I could give back, was just Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Was just being completely grateful and accepting, embracing the opportunity of initiation, embracing the mercy, embracing the blessings. And it was really clear that by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. So that whole month in Vrindavan, Krishna was really giving me mercy. And he gave me that opportunity to accept a spiritual master in the Dham, in that incredible situation. And Jamuna's ceremony, that happened that day. And it was amazing, because before her ceremony, Vrindavan was just so cold, so gloomy, so foggy, so misty. But on the day of her ceremony, there was not a single cloud in the sky, not a single drop of rain or anything. It was really warm and sunny. And it was really, Jamuna's presence was so strong, and all the devotees felt it. And she was such a genuine example of a committed disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And she lived her life with unflinching dedication, unflinching devotion, and she always was giving Krishna consciousness. She was always giving her experience of Srila Prabhupada, sharing and empowering, especially the second generation. In Sharanagati, she would place so much emphasis on the second generation. She would engage us in service. And so many devotees at her ceremony, actually people who didn't even know her, maybe people who got her association for just a second, they were so moved by her association. Just even for a second, she would change hearts. She would change lives in a second. So there were so many devotees, and they were announcing her ceremony during Mangalarti. At first, we all thought it was a personal or like a invite-only kind of thing, but they were announcing it at the whole Mangalarti every day for the days before her ceremony, because they realized that so many people, even just by hearing about her, they were inspired by her. So they just, it was completely open. So many devotees came, and there were so many heartfelt offerings of appreciation, expressions of deep, deep appreciation and love for Jamuna's life and her example. And it was so touching to see, because I spent my life as a child growing up with her as my closest neighbor. And even though I had so many years of her association, I really realized that actually time doesn't matter in the presence of a pure devotee. She was really a pure devotee, and even if you got a second of her association, you could get the same amount of inspiration from that as compared to years of her association. And she really shared that in such an amazing way. She shared her love and shared her genuine devotion. So, and that was, it wasn't just year by year or anything. It was just moment after moment. It was her commitment moment by moment. So she was such an example of that commitment to the spiritual master. And to have that, to have had my initiation during her ceremony was really special, because everybody was just remembering her, and then the initiation just slipped right in somehow. And I was really, really grateful for that experience. And after initiation, I really felt an incredible difference. I really felt different. I really felt lighter somehow. It's hard to describe. I didn't expect to feel like this, but after the ceremony, I really, really felt different. And it was interesting, because it was a simultaneous weight and relief of the commitment, I felt. It was a heavy responsibility, so that was the weight of the commitment, because I knew this is what I'm going to be doing every day for the rest of my life. So that was heavy. But at the same time, it was really relieving, which was interesting, because I just said, you know, this is it. It was such a relief. There's no other option. There's no going back. There's no, you know, I can just go ahead, go forward from now on. There's no looking back. And Janani Vas Prabhu was there at the initiation, and he spoke for a little bit after Maharaj spoke. And he said, he told me, he was looking directly at me from across the fire sacrifice, and he said, never look back. He said, there's nothing to look behind. You know, he said, just from here, from this day, you're moving forward. He said, this is the beginning of your spiritual life. He said, from this day, you just move forward. And that was such a relief, just to not have to think about anything from behind. It was such a relief to just know that from this day, it's a positive march forward. And just to understand that was really, really amazing. Just this, the weight and relief. And just to know that I'm here as a service. Like, my life, from now on, I can dedicate my life as a service. And it's so nice, because it's nothing selfish. It's not like, it's so different from just material ways of thinking. It's nothing selfish. It's actually like my life is an offering. And just to try to think about that, even though I don't understand it and I don't live it, but just to try to think about that and think about what it means and think about the importance of it was really, really touching and really life-changing. So, I put together a little PowerPoint presentation of pictures, but we don't have a projector or a thing to, I don't know. There's actually no screen to project it on. It's broken or something. But it's repairable. Prepared. Okay. So I'm sort of, oh yeah, actually I can read something I wrote. Oh yeah, okay. this is actually a pamphlet that they handed out at Jamuna's ceremony. It's called Unalloyed. This is just the, like, excerpts from the book, Unalloyed, that's about to come out. This is being written by Dina Tarani now. She's been working on it since Jamuna passed away. She's been working every day tirelessly on this book. And this is just a few like excerpts from that book. And I was looking through this the day before initiation, and I opened up to this page, and I was completely amazed because it was exactly what I needed to hear. It was about commitment. She says, this is 2002 in Alachua. Jamuna said, you need commitment, so be committed. You need to be focused. You can't get chanting. You can't get hearing. You can't get desire. You can't get serving. You can't get any of it unless you're committed to do so. Committed means, I'm going to do it, whoever I am at this moment, I'm going to do it, and nothing's going to get in the way of me doing it. That's how you chant your rounds. That's how you relish kirtan. That's how you do anything from waking up to going to sleep. You can go on someone else's coattails for a while, but that isn't what self-realization is about. Someone else's self-realization is not your self-realization. Your self-realization is self. It's Krishna in your heart, and the only way you get there is by commitment first. And the next thing is follow through. What you're committed to do, you do. You don't just say, I'm committed, and it's over. It means constant following through in everything you do, whether you're speaking to someone or hearing someone or reading or chanting or serving a devotee or singing the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Become committed to being fully engrossed in that activity. That commitment will bring us to consciousness, and consciousness will bring us to access real Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there are more or less just shades of dullness, and we do it without feeling and without commitment and focus. You don't become physically fit by vegetating. You become physically fit by movement of that muscle. So commitment is something that just by doing it, you get more strength. By chanting, you get more strength, just over and over and over. That was such a beautiful thing to read before initiation. And I really was so grateful because Jamuna, growing up with her, she actually wouldn't instruct us. She would show us by her example. So not receiving so many instructions, it was sort of, you have to look for further instructions. But this was just so straightforward, and I was so happy before initiation to read that. This is just something I wrote in my journal. After initiation, I could just read that as just a conclusion. It's 8:30, it's sort of early, but maybe after this we can just discuss a little bit if there's any questions. So, just in conclusion, this is what I wrote. Finally, I am able to honestly and truly say from the bottom of my heart, with all my soul, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. The past month in Sri Vrindavan Dham was the best of my life. Every day in Braj, more than anywhere else, was a journey, both internally and externally, a challenging but gentle test, an opportunity for spiritual growth and a chance of gaining deep realization to last a lifetime. Radharani so gently revealed my weaknesses and anartas and placed tests before me, one after another, as a gradual purification. The whole experience in Braj was an intense preparation for the most important day of my life, the most memorable moment of my life, a moment of commitment, a moment of surrender. Initiation. Due to the causeless mercy and arrangement of Radhe Shyam, I received initiation from His Holiness Radhanath Swami in Sri Vrindavan Dham on the 8th of January, the day of my 19th birthday, on Ekadasi, the same Ekadasi I was born on, in the Goshala Gardens under the shade of Jamuna Devi Samadhi, surrounded by my entire family, so many of my closest friends and other Vaishnavas. So deeply grateful and humbled at how everything had been so perfectly arranged, I couldn't hold back my tears. It was so overwhelming to feel the waves of support encouragement, and love coming in from all sides as I sat there before the fire yajna. I have never understood the potency and power of receiving the blessings of the Vaishnavas until that day. Sitting in the dust of Braj, I said my vows before my spiritual master, and he gave me the greatest gift of all, the gift of the holy name. Now back in Radhadesh, with a heart full of gratitude, I just pray to be gifted with eternal service to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. I pray to become an instrument in the hands of Guru and Krishna, and to live my life in such a way as to step closer towards the shelter of their lotus feet with the passing of every day. I pray to learn the art of living, I pray to learn the art of giving and the art of receiving, to learn to love and to learn to live life in Krishna consciousness. This is just the beginning. Thank you, Gurudev.
Thank you.
Thank you. So if there's any questions or corrections, please. My main advice, for whatever it's worth, would be to... Well, there's a few things, I think. For me, it was a lot about prayer, to just sincerely pray. And also to take shelter of the devotees, because that, it really cleared up so much throughout, for me, through the time in Vrindavan, just talking to devotees and just trying to hear, also hearing about initiation, what it means, just try to understand something about it. That would, yeah. Thank you. Is there anything else? Okay. we're getting it now? I have them, they're on my computer, but... No, it's just a few slides, like 20 slides. Sorry? Oh, okay. Sure. It'd be nice. yeah, it's okay. If it's too complicated, that's fine. But, okay. So, Radhasay was saying I could just say something about Jamuna. Just growing up with her, we didn't realize how special she was, just as children, and how much of an incredible devotee she was. So, it was actually in the past 2 or 3 years that the five of us girls started actually going to her ashram, going to morning programs, trying to learn from her, and trying to, absorb everything she was giving us. And it was, we all really, even like now, we feel such deep regret because we were there with her for so long, and we didn't, you know, we didn't take so many pictures, we didn't record so much. And she was there with us. We would sing Govindam prayers together, serve the deities together. She would teach us how to cook sometimes. And just being with her, it was such an incredible, incredible gift. And I don't think, we didn't realize it. And that's why it was so amazing to go to Vrindavan and hear from so many other devotees who probably like 30 years back got a few minutes of her association and their lives were changed forever. And to this day, they were still talking about her with such appreciation. So for us, I mean, we were with her for so long, but for some, they were with her so long ago. But it still had that same impact. So, yeah. Just being with her, she would just give so much to the youth. She was always giving. One time, she organized this parrot festival in Sharanagati, and because she's an expert deity worshipper of the deities, so she arranged for all the deities in Sharanagati to have the same outfits made, like matching parrot outfits. So she went to India and she got this really beautiful fabric, blue and green, and she got people to paint parrots on these outfits. So all the deities in Sharanagati were matching, and we all brought them together. It was all arranged by her. And she arranged the whole feast, the whole kirtan, we had games, and she made groups of people, and it was so creative and so enlivening and inspiring in so many ways. And everybody was really happy after that festival, during the festival, after the festival. And the fact that, and she put so much energy and time into it. And this was actually one of her last things that she did in Sharanagati for everybody. And so we all came together, all the deities were in one big, long row, all the deities in Sharanagati, all together, all matching. And she brought her deities, Radha Bana Bihari, who are installed, but she brought them to the temple where everybody brought their deities. And she was really, she didn't take any credit for anything. She arranged the whole feast. She cooked so much. She brought all of her, like, utensils and everything for us to use. But she was, the whole time, she was just sitting in the back. After everything was arranged, after everything went well, she was just sitting in the back, just smiling, singing, just rocking back and forth. And then after, like halfway through the program, she went back home. You know, she didn't expect anything in return. And it was so, just, that was actually one of the things that people talked about a lot during the remembrances in Vrindavan, was how she didn't take any credit for any of the things she did. And she did so much for Vrindavan, for the ISKCON Vrindavan temple. And people don't even know, like I don't even know how much she did and how much sacrifice and struggle she went through. I mean, she was, there's stories that she was just so, so, so sick. And Prabhupada personally came and she was sitting in this, she was lying down in this closet, just so ill because she had been going through so much stress. People were just giving her so much trouble. And she was trying her best. I mean, she was giving everything she had, but it was never enough. And so Prabhupada actually personally came to that spot where she was. She was just lying down in this closet by herself on the floor. And Prabhupada came and he was so concerned about her. He said, "What do you need? Like, what can I get you? Like, let's get you out of this place," and everything. And so, yeah, Prabhupada had so much love for her. And he said, one time she said, "Prabhupada, I love you so much." And he said, I feel the same way for you." And that was such, I mean, just, like, it's so hard to understand the depth of that. Prabhupada actually saying to her how much he loves her. And she was so, you know, she was so humble all the time. I mean, her humility was just so touching. And whoever came to Radha Bandha Bihari Mandir in Sharanagati, this is, I mean, their ashram was just the spiritual world. There's no other way to describe it. They built it from scratch, her and Dina Tarani themselves. They came to Sharanagati before I was there, like 13 years ago. And they started with nothing. They bought some land and they built their house with the help of some devotees from Sharanagati. And they built it in a Vastu way. So everything, the kitchen was in the right spot, the entrance, the Didi place, everything was facing the right directions. She was so much into like a sattvic environment, and that's what it was. They had a Garuda Stamba at the top of their house. And it was this beautiful stamba with a chakra on the top. So everything, and they always called it Radhabani Bihari Mandir. It was never my home. Like, this isn't my home. And she would always say, when we said, yeah, I'm going to Jamuna's ashram or something, she would say, no, this is Radhabani Bihari Mandir. Like, she would always stress that. And she was like, I'm just living as a servant in this place. It has nothing to do with me. It was just, it was never about herself. And one time, for a few years, they had this dog, Mirabai, that they took care of, and they gave so much love to this dog, Mirabai, and I must have been like 7 or 8, and from my house I can walk to their ashram, so whenever I would walk, Mirabai would come running up, barking, like she was a wild puppy, and Jamuna would come outside, and she would say, Mirabai, it's okay, like, it's just Hari Priya, and she would tell me, because I would be sort of like scared, this crazy big dog running at me. So she would say, no, Hari Priya, just say Mirabai. She would just tell me, say Mirabai the sweetie pie or something. And she would just tell me to like talk to Mirabai like in a friendly way and stuff. And going into Bana Bihari Mandir for Mangalarti was such a really, really deep experience. I didn't realize it until, like I said, like the past few years, when I was there last year, I was going more often than I had ever before. And it was the winter time, and in the winter, everything is just covered in snow, freezing cold. You step outside, everything's just icicles and snow and white. But then, from my house, we would walk to Radhabani Bihari Mandir. And you would walk in, there's a little gateway. She made everything by hand, pretty much. Everything, she would carve things on the top of the ceiling. It was just a square room, pretty much, with a few, like, bedrooms. It was really simple, like, clean, sattvic environment, completely Vastu, everything. And so she wrote in Sanskrit along the top of the wall the holy name, carved in wood. And it was so, there was like little lights, yellow lights on the top of the ceiling. And during japa time, she would turn off the big lights. It would just be these little yellow lights, dim lights. And she would turn on the Prabhupada chanting, and there would be incense. And the deities were there with candles. And I mean, this altar, I mean, I wish I had a picture to show you. I don't have it on the PowerPoint. But I mean, she carved in this like gold, I don't know what it is exactly, but it's this gold like paper. She would carve designs and put it up in this like big frame in front of the altar. And she had all this stained glass everywhere on all the windows. It'd be stained glass that she personally did. And a few years ago, she made this backdrop for the deities. And it was a stained glass image of, one was of the gopis and coward boys, and one was of Vrindavan, like a scene of Vrindavan. And she would work 8 hours straight, 10 hours straight, all night, to finish this for the deities. And she would just be there. We'd go in sometimes, she'd just be there singing, humming, doing the stained glass for hours. And this was just her service. She took everything so, and she did everything with such care and attention. Everything was so particular too. It wasn't like, she took everything with such importance. Everything, cooking, deity worship, all of the stained glass, everything, and relationships. And her relationship with everybody, whoever came, she would never judge. Everybody just, I mean, you could be this crazy person just, anyways, there's stories of just really strange people coming to Sharanagati and coming to her ashram, but she would just receive everybody and just give them, share with them Krishna. And that would change their life forever. So she put such care into everything. And that was one of her really amazing qualities. So, yeah. She really, I mean, there's so much to say about Jumuna. And, but she'll, I feel like actually after that Samadhi ceremony installation, because before this people don't, they didn't know about Jumuna so much. Maybe just, she sings Govindam prayers, and she's a Prabhupada disciple, and that's it. That's what most people know about her. But I feel like after this ceremony, I mean, and with this book coming out, this book about Jumuna, she'll really, people will really start to get to know her for who she was. And really, I feel like she'll really change so many lives. Just by reading about her, hearing about her, it'll really make a huge influence in the next years, actually eternally, for the next forever. She'll really have such an impact on so many devotees' lives. And I feel so, so blessed to have had that short time with her in her company. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. So we'll just go see. It's just a few pictures about in Vrindavan and initiation. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.